Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
If you have your Bible with you, open up to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to be reading the first 9 verses of that. It's quite early on in the Bible, first few books. Great, let's go. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Thank you, Indy. So in May this year, we went through a series called God's Vision for Your Life. I wonder if you were around, if you remember that, looking at Acts 2 and the early church. And effectively, in summary, God's vision for your life is that you would be a follower of Jesus, that you would be a disciple of Jesus. And part of our expression of being a follower of Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. Part of our expression of being a follower of Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. And in that reading in Deuteronomy, the scene is Moses is speaking to the Israelites as about to enter in the promised land, about to become the people of God and live out like being the people of God. And he says, pass it on to the next generation. Pass it on. Instruct your children and their children and your children's children. And he gives all these instructions of like write on your forehead, put it on your door frames. And we don't necessarily need to do that specifically. But what can we do to pass on the faith to those who come up after us? And like I established before, many of us are here because of others who've invested into us. And as someone who has young children, my prayer is that some of you guys would grow up to be their leaders, their youth leaders, their kids leaders, and would invest in them. And we've already seen a lot of that happen. And I want to thank you for those around the room who have specifically invested into my children and to the other children who come along here. There was a study that was done in America by Barna, who sociologists and do these research into these kind of things, and they surveyed over 1,500 Christians, people who grew up in the church, and particularly people who grew up in the church and stayed in the church. So remained what they called resilient disciples, people who were committed to following Jesus, passionate about following Jesus, well into adulthood, and which was only a very small percentage, like 10% of those who grew up Christian, stayed Christian. So what was different? What was different about those who stuck around, who kept the faith? And like it says on the screen, 85% said that there was someone who encouraged them to grow spiritually. 85% said that there was someone, kids' church leader, youth group leader, another adult, someone specifically took the time to invest in them. Just like the passage in Deuteronomy said, they did something about it. And if we want to help future generations grow up to be resilient disciples, it will take our time and our treasure and our talents invested into other generations. Now, as it's alluded to in our Deuteronomy passage, the primary responsibility for discipling kids
is the family, the primary responsibility, but it's a shared responsibility with the church. Its primary responsibility is the family, but it's a shared responsibility with the church. And so, interestingly, 72% of these Christians who remain Christians, 72% said that they admired the faith of their parents. They admired the faith of their parents. Whereas only 16% of those who left the church said that they admired the faith of their parents. Now, that's a big difference. And I wonder what our kids might say about us, those of us who have kids, or those who might have kids in the future. So the primary responsibility is the family. But of course, not everyone here comes from a Christian family. And of course, so that's where the church, it's a shared responsibility. And even if you are in a Christian family, it's a shared responsibility of the church. 88% of those who remain in the church, remain resilient disciples, were made to feel like they belonged in the church. 88%. And 77% had friends who were adults, who weren't their parents. So 88% were made to feel like they belong. Only 5% who left the church were made to feel like they belong. A big difference there. So investing our time, our talent, our treasure into other generations is an important part of being a follower of Jesus. And it works both ways. There's a lot of young people here. The opportunity to walk alongside someone older than us, to hear from them, to encourage them, to serve them, is a fantastic part of what it means to follow Jesus, as well as spending time with kids, asking them about what kids' church was like, what did they learn, how do they feel like they belong, all those kind of things, super important in following Jesus, because no one is told to do this alone. We're all in it together. So that's why we're putting this emphasis on intergenerational discipleship today. And again, in a service of mostly young adults, we're going to go down to kids' church tonight. Not physically downstairs, but we're going to experience what our kids experience on a Sunday to get a feel for it, but also to get an understanding so that we know what to talk to kids about. Now, the Bright curriculum that we're going to go through now is what we go through in our morning services and in Mount Barker. Here we do something slightly different, but we're still experimenting of what this might look like at PM. But that's fine. That's what it is. But for all of us, what are we doing to help others follow Jesus? One is the time we're going to spend in a few minutes going through this, having some fun together. Another way is this year we're putting a bit of an emphasis on our men's and women's ministry, like wanting to revamp that and also make them spaces where we can connect guys and girls across generations. So when those things come up, go be a blessing to those who are there and be blessed by those who are there. And the other one is gathered. Get along to be part of this church that's cross generations and cross areas as well. Why don't I pray, and then we're going to sing another song, and then we're going to go down to Kidsmin here. Maybe the adults can go down and the kids can stay up here. Yeah, come on. No, we'll all stay up here. We'll all experience this joy together. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we pray you would help us, equip us to follow Jesus ourselves. But Lord, equip us to help others follow Jesus as well. So Lord, we pray we'd open our hearts and mind to hear what you are saying. Lord, let this not just be a novelty or an activity that we do. Lord, we pray we would listen to what you are saying to us through what Emma has to share, that we would hear this teaching presented, you know, for all ages, but it's still your word. It's still your spirit working through it. And so, Lord, we open up ourselves to hear your voice. So we praise you, we worship you, we pray all this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
I'm going to invite wonderful Emma up, our kids' pastor. Please welcome her up.
G'day, g'day, g'day. You can take a seat. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Emma. I have the privilege of getting to work here, which is pretty cool, and working with all these lovely people. Nick alluded to a series we did in May around God's vision for your life. As part of that, you might remember, if you were around for that series, the discipleship cycle. So you would have heard things like, we come to church and we go, we want to belong. We want to... I was obviously paying really good attention. To be fair, I had nausea. not from the preaching, from the child. We start with belong. We come around to believe, behold, become and build. This new curriculum that we're taking on called Bright also uses this same language. And so tonight, as we move through our children's ministry, you'll see some of these words and you'll see a bit of how our heart for our kids is the same for our heart for us and for our growth. So you will see that as we come. So, belong. Typically, in our morning service, the kids would sing with us for a bit. They'd be around for notices and then they'd all head downstairs to their age groups. And they'd spend some time with kids around the same age as them. We're just going to pretend that we're all the same age. I am also in my 20s and really cool, as you can see. and so we're going to do an activity together. And I'm going to call for some volunteers. So if you're feeling brave and you think that this is something that you could do, I would so love you to get involved. You don't have to be a child to get involved. You actually get bonus points from me if you're a grown-up and you get involved. I'll be awarding bonus points. We're going to play a game called Two Truths and a Lie, which is where I will share three statements, or you will share three statements if you're one of our volunteers. Two of them will be true and one of them will be a lie. And we're going to work together to work out which one's false. See, we're like getting to know each other. Belong. Yay. I'll give you an example. So these are my three. Number one, I like eating tomato and cheese on toast. Number two, I like eating Vegemite on toast. Number three, I like eating sardines on toast. Two of those are true and one of those is a lie. Would you like to talk to the people near you and work out which one it is, or shall we go straight to voting? Put your hand up if you think the lie. I'm hearing some big judgments about some breakfast choices here. All right. Put your hand up if you think the lie is that I like eating tomato and cheese on toast. Put your hand up if you think the lie is that I like eating Vegemite on toast. Put your hands up if you think the lie is I like eating sardines on toast. The lie is I like eating tomato and cheese on toast. Sardines have a lot of omega-3s. They're very good for you. Is there anyone that would like to be brave and have a go? I will be awarding 10 bonus points to anyone that feels brave and would like to have a go. Emmanuel, come on down. We are ready. All right, so you get it? You've got to think of three things. Two things are true, one thing's a lie, and we're going to try and guess which one's the lie. You're up for it? All right.
I like eating tomatoes, I like eating broccoli, and I like eating cucumber.
All right, tomatoes, broccoli, cucumber. Put your hand up if you think the lie is broccoli. Put your hand up if you think the lie is cucumber. Emmanuel, please reveal to us, what is the lie?
Broccoli. Ah!
Don't we just feel like we know him so much better now? It's so good. Thank you very much, Emmanuel. So I wonder if you have ever been caught in a lie, maybe not about what you're eating, maybe about something else. Today we're learning about how the early church treated each other. We'll learn about how honesty and not lies is God's best plan for us. We're going to head into our Bible reading part now, and I'm going to start with a riddle. See if you know the answer. So, I don't walk, but I help you roam, pointing the way to get you home. What am I? 10 bonus points if you even try to answer it. We had an answer this morning, Holy Spirit, and then I felt really like, it's not the one I've got written, but probably. So I will tell you, the answer's not Holy Spirit, but... Jemima gets 10 bonus points. It's a compass. So just like a compass always points you in the right direction, God's word shows us the best way to go in life. So even when things feel confusing or stormy, we can trust his way will lead us where we need to be. God's way is best. So today we'll learn about the first church's example of how to know the right way. This week's bright idea, get it? It's the bright curriculum. We've got a bright idea. Thank you. Is God's way is best. We're going to hear that phrase a lot. God's way is best. And today we're going to try and answer two questions. Why is God's way best? How does God want his people to treat each other? And towards the end, you're going to get the opportunity to reflect on the question, how is God inviting me to respond? The Bible is real and true. God gave us the Bible so we could know him. The Bible is filled with many books and stories, but they're all part of one big story, God's story. We start with creation. God is the one true God and he has always existed. He's the creator of all things, including you and me. He's good, he loves us, and we're made in his image. But then there was the fall. Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God. Sin broke the world, and people were separated from God. People could not fix their sin problem on their own. Redemption came. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and to take the punishment for our sins and to rise from the dead to conquer death. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior, our relationship with God is made right again through his grace, and he gives us new life. And now we are in restoration. When we walk with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and learn God's word, he renews us. One day, Jesus will return to renew all things. Our story for this week is from the book of Acts. Acts is the 44th book of the Bible and is found in the New Testament. And this story falls in the early church period of the Bible. Today's true story tells us what happened when the church was brand new. We're going to find the book of Acts together. If you have a phone, you get one bonus point. If you use a physical Bible, you get 10. If you don't have a physical Bible with you, there are some to the sides. Or there's like 10 million in the lost property. So if you would like to take one home, you are so, so welcome. There are heaps there. We're going to find the book of Acts together. So remember that your Bible has at the front a table of contents, and that can be really helpful to find the books. So we are looking for the book of Acts. Next, we find the chapter. The chapter is the big number. So we're looking for the big number 4. And then the verses are the little numbers. And we're looking for a little number 32. We are going to use our Bibles, but we are also going to use some pictures to help tell our story. But we heard that we've got a bright idea for today, and I need some hype people. They're going to get 20 bonus points each. We need some hype people to remind us of our bright idea. I need four people that have come down the front and hold up their poster, because while we tell our Bible story today, we're going to need the reminder that... Oh, you're so good at this. Well done. I need some hype people. Please remember that I do know some of your names, and if you don't volunteer, I will volunteer you myself. Sarah Murchison, thank you very much. Come on down. You can even stand on the stage if you want. Indy Krieg, come on down. Lawson Sanders. Yep, come on down, you two. Here we go. Come on. Oh, there are more jobs. Don't worry. You've got more chances for bonus points. It's okay. All right, these guys are going to stand on the stage, and at certain points they're going to remind us of our big idea. All right? But I also need some storytellers. They also get 20 bonus points. All right. Because we're going to tell the story using some pictures, because sometimes when we're in kids' mid, we don't quite know how to read words yet. And that's okay. Sometimes when we're grown-ups, it's a bit tricky. Let's be real. So I need five people that could help us to hold up some pictures. Danny and Jasmine, could you help us with this? All right, one. You're going to stand there. Jazzy. Whoop. You've got to hold up really high so all the grown-ups can see it. Emmanuel, come here. Oh, yes. Stand in front of our height people. They're tall. We need two more Matt Wicks. It's okay. You're not going to miss out. And we need someone. Probably best. Yeah. One more. Jemima Brown. Thanks, friends. All right, let's dig into our story, and let me bring this with us. We might need just a practice. Hype people, hold them up. What do we say? You've got it. Lovely. All right, let's read our story. The disciples were now called the apostles. They taught the people how to live for God. The apostles shared about who Jesus was, what he had done, and how he was alive. Today's true story from the Bible comes from the book of Acts. Today we'll learn about how the early church grew bigger and bigger. More and more people followed God. How high can you reach your arms? I don't know why it says that, but you did a great job. Well done. Emmanuel, would you like to read? Or would you like me to read?
People who believe in Jesus learned about Jesus, prayed and helped each other. Some sold things they had so they could give to those in need. The believers were very generous.
They were very generous. Yeah, thank you, Emmanuel. They were very generous. It's almost like... Ah, amazing. Matt, do you feel confident to read it?
There was a name... Can you please hold this?
Yes. Yeah, thanks.
There was a man named Barnabas. He sold his field and brought the money to the apostles to share with others. His kindness was a good example.
Incredible. I'm wondering if there's someone that has their Bible open that would be brave to read us Acts chapter 4, verse 32. 30 bonus points. Because it's putting you on the spot. There are no crazy names in it. Oh, Isaac Moore, 30 points. Oh, it's stitched off.
All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had.
Isn't that good? Put him on the roster. All right, Jem's going to tell us the last part of our story.
The believers praised God. They said, "Thank you for all he had done for them,
More and more people began to believe in God. This is how God wanted the church to be. He wanted his people to be generous and share his word. Although everyone did not make good choices, many believers helped the early church grow.
You can pop your posters on the what I'm going to now call the poster table, because why not? So a big question we want to ask whenever we read a story from the Bible is, how does this point us to Jesus? We know that this happened after Jesus was a man on earth, but how does it point us to Jesus? Well, if you were to keep reading that story, and you are very welcome to in your own time, you would meet some other characters that weren't quite as honest as Barnabas. There were a couple of people that sold a field and didn't quite donate as much money as they said that they would. That doesn't sound very honest, does it? Interesting. So how does this point to Jesus? When we choose to do things our way instead of God's way, that's sin, and sin always has consequences. In fact, Romans 6 verses 23 teaches us that the ultimate consequence for sin is death. We deserve to die and be separated from God forever. But that is why Jesus came. Jesus loves us too much to leave us in our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our punishment. And when we trust in him, we can be forgiven. Then the Holy Spirit will live in us and help us to learn to live God's way. So let's think about those questions again. Why is God's way best? Well, because God's in control of all things. He has a perfect understanding of what is right for his purposes and his people. How does God want his people to treat each other then? God's way for his people to treat each other is with generosity, selflessness, and honesty. Another part of Sunday school, and if you're someone that grew up in Sunday school and in church, and it's not just a practice for children, it's a practice for anyone, is learning a memory verse. So we're going to head into our believe section. Typically in this program, we would have the memory verse for about a month. The kids like worked to learn it. They might get a sticker when they learn it, which is really exciting. Of course, it's the last day of the month, so we haven't had the chance to learn it, but we're going to do something to help it learn it together. All right, so our memory verse for July is 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. For the 3 and 4 year olds, we do make it a little bit smaller. They don't have to learn all of that, but we're going to do a little bit of a game to help us practice our memory verse. All right, because it helps us to remember that we can trust that God's way is best. I'm going to explain it, and then I'll have my volunteers. But we are going to kind of pit the church against each other. We've got left-hand side team and right-hand side team. And what I have here is the Bible verse, but on... yeah, flashcards. We're going to call them paving stones. So what's going to happen is that we'll have two teams of roughly three, or if I have more volunteers, we can have more than that. It's okay if you don't want to, you know, I don't want you to miss out if you don't want. And they're going to make a path with the words. And we'll probably do it along the front or along the sides. Anyway, and what will need to happen once they've made the path is that each person will go through and stand on each one to say the words. And once the first person said all the words of the memory verse, then the next person goes and we can see who does it the quickest. And also, there's probably some learning around it goes in your brain because you're saying it out loud. I have an education degree. Does that make sense? Enough? We need some volunteers. Who's feeling competitive today? And like they're really good at jumping on stones. Yep, one. Right-hand side's already getting their people. One, two, three. Boom, boom, boom. We need two more. Or three more. Two more. Oh, this is 50 points each. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. All right. Here we go. 50 points each. They're going to make their path now. So you can make your path. You know, I don't know if you want to go for in a straight line. I don't know if you want to go for a zigzag. What's going to be the most aerodynamic? So you can just like put it on the ground. Yep. All right. Right side, are you feeling good about your team? Left side, are you feeling good about your team? Excellent. Here we go. All right, you need to come and put your toes behind the first one. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Remember, you've got to get through the whole verse and then the next person can go. We're going for quickness, but we're also going for articulation. Which just means you have to say the words too. You know, it's good for your brain. All right, we're going to do a 5-second countdown. Are you ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Off you go. Well done, competitors. Left-hand team, all of you get 100 points. Well done. And you guys all get 100 points because you joined in. Well done. Hooray. Thanks, guys. You can take a seat. So, we can follow God's path, just like these guys followed the verse path. Oh, how cool is that? Our verse reminds us that all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours, Lord, because God is in control of everything. His way is always the best way. So good. All right, and someone else with a Bible. We are looking for Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. If it goes up on the screen, I'll read it. But if someone would like to get some more points, you are very welcome to read it out loud with the microphone. Philippians 2, big number 2, little numbers 3 and 4. They might be coming. I'm going to pass to Nick Van Reith. He gets 5 points.
Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Yeah, well done, Nick. That was very brave. So according to these verses, how should we treat each other? Have a chat to the people near you. All right. We'll finish off our chats in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. So God's way for his people to treat each other is with generosity, selflessness, and honesty, which all sound like really easy things and beautiful, nice ideas. But we're going to play a bit of a game to think about how easy or hard it is to actually treat each other God's way. I'm going to read a scenario, and then you're going to vote on how hard it would be to follow God's way in this situation. So if you think easy piece of cake, you can put your thumb up. It's like this. If you think that would actually be very tricky, you can put your thumb down like this. And if you think, not really sure, in the middle, you can put it in the middle like this. All right, you ready? Scenario one. You are playing a video game with your brother. No, sorry. You are playing a video game by yourself. And your brother has a friend over and they want to use the game system. Insert whichever game system you like. You let him and find something else to do. Ooh, would that be easy? Would that be hard? Or depends on the day. We had a family of brothers here in the morning service and all of them were sitting there like. All right, scenario two. You have been saving the last donut for your breakfast. Your mum sees it and thinks it's just left over and wants to eat it. You don't say anything and your mum eats the donut. Would that be easy or hard, or it just depends? All right, scenario three. Your mum asks if you've done your homework. You haven't finished it, but you will soon. You know she will be mad, but you tell her the truth. Easy, hard, depends. Scenario four, your friends are all talking about all the cool toys and games they have. You don't have anything new, but you could make something up. They would never know, but you choose to tell the truth. Easy, hard, depends. All right, scenario five. You are saving your money to buy something you've been wanting. Then you go to church and hear of a family that is in need. People are donating money to help the family. You give the money you are saving. Easy, hard, in between. All right, scenario six. It's the shortest. It's the last one. It's the shortest one, but I have a feeling it might be the most difficult. Your friend forgot his snack at home. You share yours. Easy. Depends. Easy. Depends on the snack. If it's sardines on toast, very difficult. Who knows? So those scenarios give us a bit of an idea that while these concepts, being generous, being selfless, being honest, are beautiful ideas, in practicality, it can be a bit tricky. And I wonder what would be hardest for you, being generous, selfless, or honest. As we learn truths from God, we can respond to him. We can tell him our feelings. He is not scared of our feelings. He's bigger than that. We can pray, or we can decide to do something or change something. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. A few weeks ago, Pastor Denby shared with us about how we inhale God's word through the Bible and we exhale prayer. It's a little bit like blowing a bubble. Yeah. See, interactive and fun. So we are going to spend some time praying and talking to God about how we treat others. I'm going to give you some things to pray for. There's lots of ways that you can do this. You could stay where you are and have a chat to God. Something I tell our littlest people, but it works for big people too, because sometimes it's hard to think of words in our brains. So sometimes we can do a whisper prayer, because when I whisper my prayer, God can hear it, but the people next to me can't. So you might like to do a whisper prayer. Give it a try. Have it. See if it feels good. You might like to pray with somebody. You might like to journal if you're one of those people. I was about to say in a good way. If you are someone that has bought that, or we also have some posters up around the room. On that side and that side, there's some pencils in the window sills. If you would like to write a prayer. So I'm going to read out some prayer topics and we'll have some prayer time. And I might even ask Jesse if he can give us some prayer music, because prayer works in the silence and with prayer music, but it sometimes makes it a little bit less awkward when we're in a big room. So we'll do that. So let's have a look. You might like to ask God to help you to be generous, to give more than you have to. Where can you be generous in your life? You might like to ask God to help you be selfless, more concerned about others than yourself. Where can you be selfless in your life? You might like to ask God to help you be honest and tell the truth even when it's hard. Where can you be truthful in your life? So we're going to do this probably just for 2 or 3 minutes, and then our band's going to come up and we're going to finish with a song. How good. So let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.